This was written, probably about 34 years after Paul became a believer. He was in prison. He was in prison when he wrote this. Colossae was a place in Asia Minor that there was a small church. It was a church like us. It was a home, a church and a house. It was a church and a house that had influences of what they called it, what Paul is fond of calling the synagogue of Satan around it. And so it's an exhortation to look, to not to be conformed to the world at all. Again, this is what Colossians is about. It's about not telling people that they should or shouldn't do stuff, or that this is what's God's stuff and this is what isn't God's stuff. We don't have any right to do that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Do you really believe that the gospel has come into all the world? I mean,
I know, but I don't believe about it anymore.
What's that?
I mean, I don't believe that we have to do what I thought we had to do as far as evangelizing the world. It's just crazy to think that, you know, you have to make people change. Like, you know, what happens in the evangelical circles, to turn them into something that they are absolutely not.
And that's why I think that this thing about what we've just gone through is so important. Because it's the perfect example of being a Pharisee or being a free man. And the Pharisee goes and says, "Watch out, be careful, don't do this, don't do that." And the free man says, "Do whatever you're going to do, and do it with everything in you until you're fed up with it." Abstain, the word abstain, from youthful lusts. The word abstain there is a really neat word. It means be fed up. I mean, Harry smoked dope for 2 years while he was still coming to Bible study. I knew he was doing it. It was embarrassing. I mean, it was like, my God, how can this idiot still do this and claim to be a Christian? I mean, doesn't he know? You know, and it was embarrassing to me. I wished he would have just quit smoking dope, but if he's going to come and hang around here. And the temptation is, Harry, don't smoke the damn dope. But something happens, something transpires that says, wait a minute, this is stupid. The smoking dope is stupid. Whether it was because he heard a demon tape or not. You know, and I think about Angela, that, you know, okay, does she have to go through everything that I did? I pray not. Pray she doesn't have to try all the crap and do all the stuff. But by the same token, she has to be fed up, and whatever that takes. Well, that's a humongous risk. You know, it's got to be where God is sufficient. God is what's left when everything else you can think about is gone. If you're constraining yourself, if you're circumcising yourself, you're in for a fall. And then it's the great one says, they that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You know, they want you to be different, so that they don't have to suffer persecution. Okay. Verse 6, which has come unto you as in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. Well, that's the difference between fruit and work. His fruit comes forth of itself. To say you believe and then believe that you have to do something means you don't believe. You understand that? If I have to do something to help God out, then forget it. I've had one rule of thumb since I've been a believer, and that is, God, I'm not helping you out any. I'm not going to kid myself into thinking I'm helping you do something. I'm just hanging around and I'm honest. That's the only thing I am. I mean, that's why there's something different about this place. It's because we don't try to help God out. Well, every once in a while we do, and then we get smacked. Can you hear the difference between fruit? The fruit, it's not. The fruit has to be, by definition, if you believe the Bible at all, a body. If there isn't a body, then there's no fruit. Now, well, anyway, I don't want to go into that. Which bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, I can't remember the last time But I sat around and wondered what the will of God was for my life. It had to have been at least 15 years ago. I can't remember the last time I sat, and by the same token, I can't remember the last time I sat around and wondered whether I was in the right career or not, or what my retirement program was. The evidence the prayer of God is that you would be filled with His will. That you would be, you no longer search for the will of God, you are the will of God. You know what I'm saying? You know, oh God gave me a word, this word's for you. Well, if that word's for you, what was the one right before it? Or the one after it? This word, I got a word of God here. Okay, now we're going to pray.
No, the word for you, brother.
Now we're going to pray. Well, what was I doing just before? Yeah. Or just after? If I'm not praying without ceasing, I'm not praying at all. And if every word that I speak isn't the oracle of God, none of it is. And if my life isn't the will of God, something I do cannot be. Just to make sure you know I didn't make what I just said up, go keep your finger there and go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. And watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as if the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Do you understand it? You don't have to search for the word of God. You don't have to wonder what the will of God is. You don't have to sit around wondering whether or not you're doing the right thing. You don't have to sit around and think about whether or not what the purpose of life is. I can't remember the last time I wondered what the purpose of life was. You're at the top of the food chain. That's enough. Nothing can get you. That's what it means if you're at the top of the food chain. You eat the sharks. You understand that? You eat the sharks, you smack the scorpions, you trod on the serpents. Nothing can get you. You're at the top of the pyramid. Genetically and historically and psychologically and religiously, you're the top, you're the pinnacle of the pyramid, because He's the cornerstone and He's your life. Everything else has ever existed in your life, every relative you've ever had all the way back to the beginning of time, existed to make you exactly as you are tonight, so you could be exactly what you are today, and all things in the universe exist for your purpose. top of the food chain. Woe unto anyone that tries to mess with the top of the food chain. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience. Patience. It's not just patience, it's all patience. And long suffering with joyfulness.
Still working on that one.
Long suffering doesn't count if you tell anybody.
Right, and if you don't have joyfulness. You ought to hear
Harry in the morning and morning long stuff.
You ought to hear Harry in the morning before.
I keep telling Harry, long suffering doesn't count if you tell anybody.
I'm suffering
so bad.
Patience, here we have patience and long suffering.
Patience and prudence.
No, prudence is the one in the middle.
Sin, death, and flesh.
Who was who, but it didn't matter.
Sin, death, and flesh.
You were
self-seeking.
I don't know.
I was probably dead.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom. Hath, past tense, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Translated, transfigured us already. It's finished. We're in the new, everything is finished now. Anything that's taking place here is only to test the fact that we know that it's finished. Who said something?
Me. Verse 12, what does meet mean there?
Fit.
Made us meet.
Fit.
Pardon me?
Made us fit to be.
M-E-E-T.
Perfect.
In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created. Now notice the word all. It doesn't just say, all things that I like were created by Him, or all things that I think meet His standards were created by Him, and for Him, and by Him, and through Him. All things were created by Him. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. That's why he that resisteth the power resisteth God. All things were created by Him and for Him, for His purpose. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You know why that's true? The universe, the tangible physical universe, we can prove it, is made by the blood of God, by the blood of Christ. Everything in the universe is made out of the blood of Christ. Everything here is just spirit slowed down. Light is everywhere. God is light. Show me someplace there's no light. You know, I've told you before, there's as much light in the center of your kneecap as there is on the sun. But light is only seen in time when there's resistance. And that the resistance is what causes the antagonism, and the antagonism is what causes the heat, and the heat is what causes the light. That's why you can see light in times, because of antagonism. But that doesn't mean the light isn't everywhere.
Several of the really strong paintings by Salvador Dali, they have the same theme, which is he shows all matter breaking down into particles, and the particles all flowing together to create a giant crucifix. Really inspires.
He is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body. That's why we give no thought for tomorrow. We give no thought for our own life, because he is the head of the body. The only damn thing we have is we have a bunch of cells that have the capacity to think of themselves as individuals. That's what makes us so weird.
Is that like when you get a twitch?
Yeah. He is the head of the body, the church. And it's not up to us, it's none of our damn business to say who is and who isn't in the church. I mean, can we get that straight? Oh, it's just those that confess. We don't know what the hell it is. We don't know what it is. All we know is he said, say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, for that is to bring Christ down. And say not even in your heart, who shall descend into the abyss, for that is to bring Christ up, as though you could be saved by your own works. Again, it's only, hear me, some of you may not like this one little bit, but it's only if you're not there that you worry about whether you're there or not. Does that communicate? I promise you that within a few... Soon, the idea of whether or not you're ever going to go to heaven or hell or any of that is just meaningless, because you're already there. You're in heaven, so how are you going to worry about whether you're going there or not? It's like you're sitting in the midst of all the money in the universe and you're wondering, oh, am I going to have any money tomorrow? I didn't make that up either. You own all things. Now, if I own all things, why am I running around trying to act like I want to get something? What that says is it proves that I don't believe I own all things. So I have to act like I do in order to make myself believe that I do. You know what I mean? It's the Zig Ziglar theology. I need arms. Just believe you've got them and you have them.
You do? Oh, yeah.
No arms.
Do you have an evangelist without arms?
He has no arms. It's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen.
You have an Indian.
Not making it up.
You need to send it to Joe Buck.
We had him. Everybody. Oh, that's a great idea. He has no arms.
That's
on
tape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Weird evangelist.
No, it's a real evangelist that was. It was a thalidomide baby.
So he's an evangelist.
And he doesn't have any arms, and his hands come out of his shoulders.
Oh,
that's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen.
It's like a little angel wings.
And we can't figure out how he ties his tie. He gets his glasses on. Like if they slip, what does he do?
Probably going to the
right, except for Harry and Gary.
You
got to
have at least one really good friend if you don't have any arms.
Outside of being normal.
How does he get the others in here?
Harry, go sit out in front porch. Right now, out the front. Out,
front
Harry.
Porch.
Harry, you think I'm kidding? The front porch.
Really?
Really.
You'd be very happy to do that. What'd he do?
Oh, it was like.
He said. He said, you got to have at least one very, very good friend if you don't have any arms.
And if you know what I mean.
He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The works that, again, all works are wicked. No matter what it is that you think you need to do is by definition wicked if you consider it from his perspective. Do you understand? It's finished. So he's reconciled you. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Do you understand how you would act and how you would be if you thought that you were holy, unreprovable, and unblameable?
It's unreprovable.
You can't, there's nothing that anybody, no one can lay a trip on you. They can't reprove you for a thing. For
a comment.
Yeah, so
If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And verse 23, the word if there is the Greek word eis. And it doesn't mean if, like we think of if, a conditional. It means in view of the fact. In view of the fact that you continue. I mean, in other words, God is always expecting that once you will reach that state, that you will always continue in that state. Do you understand what I mean? Because no one would be stupid enough to go back to another state. It would be analogous to a butterfly trying to crawl back into a cocoon and becoming a caterpillar. It's not talking about some little thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Again, we have it here again. The gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. And all that Paul can be, the greatest evangelist that ever was a servant to that. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Paul's rejoicing in his own sufferings, which is ludicrous. And fill up that which is behind or lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake, which is the church. And that's why it's very dangerous to trivialize sufferings, trivialize it, to make it unimportant, unnecessary. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or to complete the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, the mystery that has been hid from ages and from generations, and it's still hid. but is now made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, just look around. Just look in that side of the room. Present these four perfect in Christ Jesus. Either has to mean it's already perfect, it's already complete, or what we have is an impossible task. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Stop looking.
I mean, there couldn't be a better example anywhere on the face of the earth.
Is there a problem?
It doesn't get any better than this.
Is there a problem? What's the
problem? Send the bikini team.
What did he say?
Send the bikini, Swedish bikini team.
You don't want to know.
Because we're just sitting around saying it doesn't get any better than this, and then the girls come down on the raft and they have on bikinis.
Are you calling Raphael again?
It's a commercial.
It's
chauvinist pig. It's the one Charlie Trainer got in trouble with.
Is this the kind of that's going to make Lee really mad?
Oh, yeah. Lee's the kind of person that got Charlie Trainer in trouble.
Charlie Trainer.
He owns Stroh's beer company.
He's the one that we were dealing with to try to get Castle Hot Springs.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that was what...
So it took all that time to get back to little nugget that Gary said?
Yeah.
Well, we got it.
What wisdom?
This is prudence.
You liar.
Prudence didn't get it.
Prudence doesn't know about things.
Prudence does well.
Perfect Christian gentleman.
He just wants to be all the husband God wants him to be.
One slip of the tongue and they'll never live it down.
That's true.
I know that.
It's true.
I never let that one down.
It's the corn casserole of your life.
It's the gravy.
Incredible slam.
It's the gravy of your life. What's the kind of gravy that he makes?
Vinegar.
No, but what was he trying to make?
Sauerbraten.
Get out of here.
He was supposed to put one-third of a cup of vinegar in the gravy. He put 13 cups in it. But that's the way my mother made it. 13 cups of vinegar.
Wait till the next time you want sauerbraten.
13 cups.
You could preserve anything in that gravy.
That's right. I'll get even with you.
Do you know what? There wasn't a cold in the camp for 6 months. There wasn't a virus in the neighborhood.
That's right.
Within
everybody was cleaned out. We were all pickled.
Can you understand that it's either all or nothing? There isn't any in-between shit. Can you understand God really hates the in-between shit? He calls it lukewarm. He can spew you out of his mouth if you're lukewarm. It's just boring to be lukewarm.
We have a slide presentation for next week. Basically, it's a bunch of slides of fires and car accidents and all this stuff that, you know, but it has people in it from all different fire departments. And one of the slides is in Cedar Hill, and it's the cars in the background. The car is just, it's not a car anymore. And there's all these people standing around, and there's this light shining down, this reflection light shining, you've seen it, shining down into the picture. And it looks like, you know, like God's coming down. Meaning the guy did die on the scene, you know. And it looks like God's coming down, so we convinced everybody in the office that it was God coming down and picking up this person. And I mean, and that's it's really what it is. It's a reflection of the light off of the ambulance on the lens, but it's just this light shining down, and it just goes. It's really wild looking.
So it's like a cocoon.
The word for that light beam that you're talking about, or that you see. And on some signs, and sunset, sometimes the light, beam of light, that beam of light is called the horn. So that's what the horns of the altar are.
Well, it's orange and red colored. Yeah, I would bring everyone.
Yeah, get him.
Who are you?
For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you. This is him. He's in prison. And for them at Laodicea, he knows he's got the conflict at Laodicea because they're the lukewarm ones. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now that's where I wanted to get tonight. The heart is comforted when it's knit together, and it's knit together when it's suffering. When the needle is from the knitting needle is through the heart, the thing that you think of as negative is what knits us together in love. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What I'm going to talk about tonight in the big group is what I think is the idea of suddenly. I know with everything in me, something is going to suddenly happen. I prayed with Tyra the other night about, you know, all right, it's almost the fleece, like, either shut the son of a bitch up or shut me up, one of the two.
I had to tell you something. I don't like to waste time here about this, because I know, like, people like Daryl said, well, other people said you're sick and tired of hearing about this, but this morning I watched that show, and it was very, very strange and very weird and very bizarre and very upsetting and sickening. And I was reminded of what you said a long time ago about the gifts of the Spirit being counterfeit, and about the research project where they went around to all the different societies, the Eskimo societies, and they recorded the chanting and the different ceremonies, and then they did the same thing with a lot of the fundamentalist type things.
Charismatic Christmas.
This morning was such obvious. 8,000 people involved in soul power, tilting on a microphone, chanting the most obscene, and it was on television. And it was on television all across North America. And that's, I mean, to me, something is happening because it's gone even, it's on television. It can be done in the daylight with the windows open. And it was just very bizarre. And I say amen to what you just said. Something's going
on. I don't even understand what the fleece means.
Well, I'm just saying that let whatever be. I don't care whether it kills me in the process.
Well, what do you mean by... Oh, and that's what fleece means?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't the fleece a test.
Show
yourself now.
Yeah,
really.
I had an experience with light tones. Share with everybody. Last time I was here, we were going over Ezekiel. And, you know, I wouldn't read, and I would just, from memory, you know, hearing it. And I had one hellacious experience with, seeing the Pentecost, the whole experience of Pentecost. Mind. Even the speaking in tongues and I mean, I went through almost a whole 24-hour period of this, trying to, well, seeing what Ezekiel had seen, getting ready for the Pentecost.
Great.
The Pentecost experience. And even I even saw some of the things of, well, see, well, what about Tilton speaking in tongues and stuff? And one thing came out of this that it was just like you getting a little Spanish and you saying little words in Spanish and shit. That's exactly what Tilton does. You know, some of the things he's saying, he say in tongues, what is this? What pieces of shit?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I just saw that whole experience, and it was the time ripping when Christ died, the time ripped apart, and then what popped in my mind is that, oh yes, I was wondering, I started laughing because I understood where he was. He's not even, spiritually, he's not even in time and space, so he sits in time and space, out of sight of time and space, and this fuck with self-seekers.
Amen.
Amen. And I started seeing that, and I was going,
well,
I seen him.
Amen.
All right, I mean, the whole experience just, and it was like outside of time. I don't know if I'm going to ever practice this, but I saw it. And whether it ever be applied in life, that we have what Christ did, is he put us out time, outside of time and space, where the beginning of time to the end of time, all that is
the same point.
The same point.
Yeah.
And just,
amen.
Okay.
And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments or principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete now, tonight, in him. That's a good place to stop. Well, take a big guy.